And on the line, Jeremy Jones from AJEC. Good afternoon, Jeremy.
Good afternoon, Jutta.
Well, we've got very ambivalent election results. What is your take on it?
I'm not very surprised that we don't know the result today. All the polls and the indications from people out in the streets during the last 2 months have been extremely close. There were many people who said they weren't even sure how they were going to vote until the day. And then on the other side of the equation, there were a great number of people who voted early. So these votes have not yet been counted. Many of these votes haven't been counted. So there are some seats where we only know 60% or 65% of the vote. And there could be big changes once those boxes are opened. But in terms of the Jewish community, we know a few things for sure. Michael Friedlander, Julian Leeser, are two new Jewish members of parliament, one from the Labour Party, one from the Liberal Party. And with the re-election of Mark Dreyfus, Josh Frydenberg, and likely Michael Danby, we will have a large number of Jewish members of the lower house, which is quite incredible. And it's a testimony to the involvement of Jewish people in Australian public life. None of the people run as Jews. They run as people for their parties or on particular issues who are of high enough standing and high enough respect that they can serve in the office of members of parliament. I think that's terrific.
So I congratulate all the Jewish candidates. It's amazing. That's what I wanted to ask you, if we have clear results, if they won the seat that they were contesting on. That's amazing.
Well, if we have to have the qualification. There are votes that haven't been counted, and we really don't have a good idea of where those votes are likely to go.
The indication.
The most informed commentators, yes. The most informed commentators say those people are most likely to be elected. At the same time, there are other people who are not Jewish but are very well known to us in the Jewish community, people we've worked with on a variety of issues, the most important of whom, I suppose, is Mike Kelly, who's been re-elected, who's very much somebody we're very close to within the community. Then there is Peter Khalil, who you'd know through SBS, also elected down in Melbourne for the Labour Party. And there's Linda Burney, very prominent in New South Wales politics, and an Indigenous woman who's worked very closely with the Jewish community on a whole range of issues, join other new members of parliament.
Congratulations to all the candidates that won in the elections yesterday. And we are talking to Jeremy Jones, Director of International Community Affairs at AJEC. Jeremy, why there was such a big swing against the Liberals?
Well, I just want to say one thing before we get into this. It's very interesting. In the last election, there were a number of issues which were very close to the Jewish community. One was the racial hatred legislation, which became called the 18C debate. Another was security, counterterrorism, this sort of issue. Another was immigration. Now, these issues were hardly spoken about through most of this election. So the issues on which this were decided were not things which had sort of specific Jewish spin to them. But I think what we had seen is there was a very good, successful campaign run by Tony Abbott in the previous election. And many commentators say what we've really seen in many ways is a correction. People who had been traditional Labour voters returning to Labour in certain areas, and people who were traditionally centrist or non-aligned voters going back to where they went to before. And we've seen in many elections, certainly over the past 20 years, most elections have been very close, and it's unusual when they're not. We have seen in this election, though, in certain areas, certain matters seem to play out very much to particular electorates the way they weren't necessarily seen nationally or came late in the campaign. So, for instance, the issue of Medicare was really pushed very heavily by the Labour Party in the last couple of weeks and certainly at the polling places. The issue of stability, economic growth was pushed very hard by the Liberals. The issues of parliamentarians being out of touch with their electorate were pushed by a huge variety of independents and minor parties. So what we had is in different places, people being appealed to in different ways, depending on how the parties assessed they were likely to, what issue they were likely to be attracted to vote on.
So why there is such a big swing? Because, look, I mean, there was a really big deficit in the budget, and Liberals come and they say, job growth and jobs, jobs and growth, jobs and growth. They are really scaring the, you know, the public that they are the only people that can manage the economy. And on the other side, the labor is scaring the public. I'm just telling you what public opinion is, that Medicare will be privatized. It will be the end of Medicare, as we know. And the liberals saying it's a big lie. So what happened here? All these messages.
Well, from your own analysis, what it's sounding very much like is the idea of Medicare being at risk really played out well, and people believed that was a possibility. The view of jobs and growth might have appealed to people, but the question for many voters may have been, why do we think only one party is offering us jobs and growth? Both parties are talking about the possibility of the economy being run better by them. And I think what we have also seen is, because there's been so much changeover and turnover in recent years, we have two parties which have many people who have held office. They've held financial offices, they've held social policy offices, they've been ministers in previous governments. So they don't come across as people who you're taking a big risk with. They come across as people who are relatively safe and secure. Now, I understand if somebody is a dyed-in-the-wool Labour voter or a dyed-in-the-wool Liberal voter, or you're committed to the Greens or one of the small parties, you might give no credibility to what the other side says at all. But if you're not in that part, in that category, you can be sitting there thinking to yourself, well, it's not so dangerous to go this way. These people need a message. There's also the other factor, which I don't think can be understated in certain seats, and that is Malcolm Turnbull was depicted as somebody who was out of touch because he's been personally very successful and portrayed as somebody who had a high life, who couldn't understand the needs of an ordinary working person, and that seemed to have a great deal of appeal.
Oh, that's amazing. I mean, the Liberals bought him because Tony Abbott lost popularity, and they thought that bringing Malcolm Turnbull will change. And it seems that many people actually express disappointment with Malcolm Turnbull. But why is that? Why there was so much disappointment?
Well, the thing, let's take a step back. Not everybody thought it was a good idea to change leaders within the Liberal Party. Opinion polls are not ballots, and so there was a variety of views. But certainly a majority of people in the Liberal Party believe they had a much better chance of the election with Malcolm Turnbull than Tony Abbott, which is why they changed leaders. That's a statement of fact. What would have happened with Tony Abbott is something we don't know. But once you've taken the risk, and the Liberals and Nationals knew it was a big risk, because one of the reasons that the Labor Party had a certain level of unpopularity had been the chopping and changing of leaders. You vote for Kevin Rudd, the next election it's Julia Gillard going to the election. You vote for Julia Gillard, the next election it's Kevin Rudd going to the election. This time you voted for Tony Abbott, and he was saying, I'm not like the Labor Party. But sure enough, by the next election, there was a different person going to the election in the form of Malcolm Turnbull. Now, I don't know how many voters that affects, but it could certainly affect those who said the reason we're changing our vote to the last election is we don't like the chopping and changing of leaders. But then when it came down to the actual campaign, if a few votes and a few seats had gone different ways, a particular leader can be hailed as the great messiah. But if the votes go the other way, the people are asking serious questions about why is this person in the leadership position? Why didn't they run a better campaign? And I think this is why last night during the coverage, I watched the election coverage till it stopped, basically, which was about 1:30 in the morning. There were still commentators being very guarded in saying who ran a great campaign and who didn't, because until the postal votes, until the absentee votes, until everything is factored in, there are still quite a number of seats in doubt, and people don't want to have egg on their face by saying this person ran a great campaign or a terrible campaign and then find out that there was a different outcome to the election.
We are talking to Jeremy Jones, Director of International Community Affairs at AJAC, and you are listening to Shalom Australia on SBS Radio. Jeremy, the minor parties, and especially Pauline Hanson, what do you say about their success in these elections?
Unfortunately, I am not surprised. What is interesting is there were indications going back for many months that the people who would regard them, who we might call the far right, the people who are anti-immigration, who are anti-Muslim, who are anti-minority, whatever, were feeling that they weren't represented by the major parties in any sense and were going to crystallise around one of the smaller parties. At one stage, there was the idea this might be the group called the Australian Liberty Alliance, or it might be the Rise Up Australia. There are a range of parties who were speaking basically to the same electorate. Now, Pauline Hanson still has the celebrity standing, and unfortunately, whether we like it or not, there are people who will vote for somebody they think they know or somebody they think is a celebrity, regardless of what that celebrity is for. Now, sometimes that might be for a sporting person, a music person, but in Pauline Hanson's, she had the celebrity of being Pauline Hanson and with everything that's happened since. So her name on the ballot paper gave a focus for people who felt they were not being represented on these particular issues by any of the major parties. So it wasn't a surprise votes went to that area. In fact, they went to Pauline Hanson, as against the other parties, says something about her attraction and her standing in a particular section of the community. When it comes to the other small parties, Nick Xenophon has been running a successful campaign for many years in South Australia as putting himself forward as the person who's not Labor and not Liberal, but somehow is responsible. Now, you can have many debates about that, particularly when it comes to issues of concern to the Jewish community and Israel, for example. You can ask very serious questions about Nick Xenophon. And in the past also, people who've been involved with him as his running mates and teammates have not necessarily been shining examples of common sense and centrism. But we will see what happens with the people who come with him this time. So the South Australian result did not really surprise too many commentators, but particularly based on the last election and the long-term election he had, first in state parliament and subsequently in federal parliament. And even back, I remember him from student politics. He was putting himself in the same way as a Liberal in student politics, but as a centrist, a person who wasn't like the others, and drawing to him a certain vote. When it comes to other small parties, we really don't know how they've done yet. But again, you look at the Victorian election, the minor party person who seems to have done very well with the small amount of votes counted is Darren Hinch, who's well known as a television personality and a public figure. He was running almost on a single issue platform, but nevertheless, people who wanted a minor party went for the celebrity as against going for some of the parties which might have been putting forward alternate platforms.
And Jeremy, my last question is about the Greens. How did they do in these elections?
It seems the votes that I saw last night at the close of polls seem to indicate that the vote was slightly up, but their numbers in the Senate are likely to be down because of who else was competing for spots. It's far too early to know what influence or power they will have. It will depend on the makeup of the Senate altogether, whether they become a cohesive bloc. Their power in the lower house will be determined by whether or not it's a minority Labor government or a minority Liberal National government or whatever else comes out. If it's a majority Liberal National coalition government, then the Greens won't have any influence in the lower house whatsoever. And the question then becomes what committees they serve on and what parliamentary work is done, because we have to understand a huge amount of the work of parliament is not what you see in question time, is not what you see in media conferences or infotainment like Q&A. There's hard work done in policy committees, electorate work done, development of political legislation, etc. And the parties basically divide the spoils amongst them when it comes to decision making. And depending on how big your party is, that's going to determine what representation you have. But I just have to say, with all the people who are elected to Parliament, whatever party they're from, we know within the Jewish community that we have a responsibility to do our best to bring them up to speed on the issues of concern to us, to make sure if they make decisions on matters that affect our community, they're doing so in an informed way, that we don't have the excuse that we were too lazy or did not make the effort to meet with somebody to put our point of view, resulted in them saying something which was not consistent with that, with what we think is an intelligent decision to make on a particular subject. Now, obviously, we know people won't necessarily agree with us. We can have good friends on many issues who disagree with others. So, for instance, in Melbourne, Tim Wilson, who was the Human Rights Commissioner, was elected to Parliament. Tim Wilson is a good friend on many issues, but he has very strong disagreements with us either as a community on the importance of protections for victims of racism, different spins on it. And there are others in that sort of category as well. And there are people we know who are strongly allied to us on those issues who really don't, in our view, seem to understand the crucial elements of the conflicts relating to Israel, issues relating to terrorism, etc. So we have a responsibility, everyone within the Jewish community who has access to their local member of parliament, their senators, etc., to do our best to let them know what is important to us and how we can help them do their job representing and leading Australia to the best of their ability. And that's going to require our hard work. I'm willing to do it, and I know many of your listeners are also willing to do it.
Jeremy Jones, Director of International and Community Affairs at AJAC, thank you very much and have a great day. Shalom.
Shalom.